Can I just put mine? Well, I'll just put it. Oh, hello.
Well, you can use it.
Yes, that's all right.
We can bring you over here.
That's all right. Doing that on one foot. Good on you. Hopping around. Yeah, someone was going to give him a round of applause then, but quit. I like that. I like that. Anyway, I'm just going to pray for the kids as they head on out. I've been holding Faith this morning, and she's wearing a nice glittery dress. So, you see it on me? Yeah. I thought I'd sparkle for you. Okay. Let's pray for the kids. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with these children, and I really ask that you just be with them this morning as they look at your word, and bless the teachers as they just spend time with them. And Father God, yeah, we thank you for them. Help us as a church embrace them as not just future leaders, but they are the church. And so help us just to embrace them and lead them with your guidance, Father God. So thank you for them. And as we look at your word now, just pray, Father God, that you just stir our hearts and minds to you, that you use me despite my many weaknesses, Father God, that this be just all for your glory. In your name, amen. I'm going to go ahead and read Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead, and he said, "Go into the village over there," he told them. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, 'The Lord needs it,' and we'll return it soon." Two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, "What are you doing untying that colt?" And they said Jesus had told them to say they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. That fulfills a prophecy in Zechariah. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Praise God in highest heavens!" So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. After looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. So, when Jen woke up this morning and said, "Hey, I'm feeling pretty rough. Can you preach?" I thought, okay, cool. That's, you know, I remember a lecturer saying to me years ago, saying, "Johnny, always have a spare sermon." Did I listen to him? No. And so I laid there and then, okay, Palm Sunday, what comes to your mind, Johnny? And I thought of wrestling. So I thought, okay, let's go with it. And the reason wrestling came into my mind was, by the way, wrestling as in like WWE, the guys in the underpants, you know, not real stuff, okay? It's good entertainment, okay? But as a teenager, I loved wrestling, watching wrestling. You know, and these guys, these big guys, and these, you know, they literally were pretty much wearing their underpants, running into the ring, and they'll be hitting each other with chairs. It's all pretend. It's all good, you know. And then the crowd are going wild, and then as they're kind of pretending to fight on the in the ring, all of a sudden this music goes off, and the music goes for one of the crowd's favorites. Everyone goes crazy because the music, I mean, that's how real life it is, because everyone should have a theme music, right? To announce their arrival into the room, you know, some music plays. I'm like, John Watson's here. There's a music for him coming up, you know. And so these guys are wrestling, and then all of a sudden this music goes, because you know someone's going to run into the ring, and the crowd are going wild, and they're going absolutely crazy. Yeah, he's going to come in and beat them up, and I'm watching them like, yeah. And I'm thinking, as a 12-year-old and a 30-year-old, I'm thinking, I want to be that. And as a kid, I aspired to be a wrestler. I came up with my wrestler name, my finishing move. It's all there. So be prepared. One day, I'll unleash D-Pod. That's a guy. And the reason it came to me of wrestling and Palm Sunday, thinking, where's he going? And I'm thinking that too, is this grand entrance. As this music goes on, and the crowd go crazy. You know, these guys coming down, they're high-fiving, they're getting all excited. Or you may see, you know, in American football, that, you know, crowds go and they run down the center, or in any sport, and it's, you know, signing autographs, and, you know, their heroes have arrived. And the reason I think of this is, it's pretty much opposite. You see, here's this word talking. Here's this king. Here's this Messiah. Big stuff is going to happen. Word is spreading in the crowd. Some of them have witnessed what Jesus has done. Some of them have just heard about it. And so the crowd are talking. Here he's come. Here he comes. And then they see him on this lowly donkey. Not running down going, that's right, people. Jesus is here. High five with his sunglasses on. You know, but lowly riding there on a donkey. This opposite of what we might see now as heroic, superstar, fame. We read, as we've been going through it in Mark and other Gospels, of the characteristics of Christ. Nowhere do I read about arrogance, someone lording it on themselves. We see and experience and read of a man who is humble, taught of compassion, taught of love, stood in the way of injustice. You know, even when crowds at times would get really big and following him, there were many times Jesus just got away from it, spent time with him and his Father. And sometimes he'd do a miracle and he would say to the person, don't tell anyone. This is for you. Wasn't, look at me, and be there on Palm Sunday, wave your branches, tell you, I'm going to ride in there, and everyone's going to go crazy. No. He was fulfilling a prophecy coming on this. If he came on a camel with gold drilling down him and everything good, maybe. Maybe that's the king some were looking for. Not on this young donkey that Jesus arrived. And then I get me thinking of this crowd. And I think, who would we be? You know, this crowd, you have those who are worshipping. You have this crowd, those who are still a bit unsure. And then you would have the skeptics walking alongside going, who is this guy? What is going on here? And I think, who would we be? If you had heard the message, if you had heard about these miracles, would we be the ones getting the palm branches down, the sign of royalty, the sign of great leadership and respect? Our cloaks, allowing this donkey to walk on, would we be laying it all down before him? Or would we be going, I've heard it all before. I've not seen any of this myself. Our response would be, in this hypothetical question, would be, of course we would be. I'll be there, I'll be cutting down the branches, you know, laying it all down, I'll put my cloak, absolutely. But maybe the way we should truly answer that question is looking at our lives. What do we lay down? What are we laying down? It's all good hypothetically saying, oh yeah, if I was there, too right, I'll be the first one putting the branch down. Jesus rocks. But what are we laying down in our lives? What about that pride? Do we lay that before God? What about our wealth? Do we lay that down before God? What about our health? What about our families? Our work? Our heart desire? Do we lay them down before our Savior? Do we acknowledge him as king, not just this week, but all our lives? And to be honest, there are times that I have to reflect on myself and go, I could be laying down a lot more. I could be giving up a lot more. I can and I should be acknowledging Christ a lot more. in my life than I currently do. It's all well and good saying, oh yeah, absolutely, I'll be laying down that leaf, but we have the opportunity to give him our lives, to say, do you know what? I'm not going to worry about the future, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put pride aside, and I'm going to be compassionate to that neighbor who maybe has treated me wrong. Or I'm going to be friendly, or I'm going to be forgiving of that person who maybe hurt me a few years ago. Or I'm going to stand in the way of that injustice that no one else is standing in that way. I'm going to give that to God. You see, some of these people in this crowd would have been a week later shouting, crucify him. Some of these people in this crowd who were putting these branches down, saying you are king, praising him, a few days later saying, crucify him, kill him, release Barabbas. We would rather have that known criminal walking around our streets than have Jesus alive. What a week. From you are amazing, we want to praise you, to I want you to have a brutal death. Crucify him. There we go. Hey, a week ago, it was all good. You see, within that week, talk would have happened. Is this really the Messiah? Did he really do all that good? There would have been other people saying, wait, were you there when he was walking into Jerusalem? Were you the one putting branches down? Are you crazy? Peer pressure gets to people. Oh, no, it wasn't me. I mean, if you think about it, Peter, who was a pretty hardcore follower, denied Christ 3 times. So if you could think of someone who maybe just appeared there on the entrance in Jerusalem, laying down their branches, a few days later, someone saying, really? Messiah, really? Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, maybe not. How many of these really rooted their lives to God? Or how many of them just kind of got swept away with the excitement of all this? And it made me think of one of the parables that Jesus teaches. Back in Mark 4, of the farmer scattering the seed. What happens when it going gets tough? What happens when people start questioning you? Why did you do that? Why were you laying down your palm branches? Why were you praising him? Some of these people were not rooted. And so when it comes a week later, we're very quick to be like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to join the mob now. Crucify him. Mark 4, Jesus teaches us this. Verse 3, listen. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked, and the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as he had planted. I'm going to jump to verse 13 as Jesus explains it to them. If you can't understand this meaning of the parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come and at once take it away. You see, that first seed, there's too many like that. You may know them, that maybe have... you've told them about Jesus, or maybe you've told them that you go to church, and have just straight away gone, not for me, thanks. Or even maybe mocked you for that. And there's a tendency to kind of go, okay, I said it once, ain't seen it again. When the reality is, there's probably many people sat here today, here because somebody else persevered. Maybe the first time you heard the good news, it didn't soak in. You didn't grab it. Maybe the first time, second time, third time, you're like, not for me. But after hearing it, after witnessing it, then it started to grow in you. Keep persevering. You maybe have people, children, siblings, parents, friends that are in this situation. And then, I've said it once, keep sharing it. Keep living. Keep persevering. Allow them to witness and experience Christ in you. But the part that really jumps out to me here in this first seed is we cannot be those that are the ones that Satan uses to snatch away. Jesus says later on in chapter 9, you may as well have a millstone, this big, heavy cement, or whatever it would be made of stone, and be lobbed into the ocean, than to cause someone young in their faith to stumble. We have a responsibility to show the way. We have a responsibility, if we're proclaiming Christ as our Savior, not just this week, but Lord of our lives. Who has seen our actions? Who is seeing us away from a Sunday? The way we talk to people, the way we handle ourselves. What experience are they getting from us of Christianity? I recall, and I may have shared this, I apologize if I have, but I recall when I was a teenager, and the church I was part of, there was a lot of shifts and splits and just real nastiness going on, and they had a church meeting going on, and I was a teenager, and they had a meeting, and I went to it. And I remember as a teenager seeing these elders and these elders of faith just go at it. And I still remember that feeling of shaking. Because on a Sunday, I remember seeing these guys and these girls just loving each other, hugs, how you doing? But at this meeting, those gloves are off. And I just remember as a teenager just shaking. And I remember this little lovely lady behind us just put her arm on me and she said, it's okay. This will be resolved. And I don't like conflict now, but when you're seeing these people that you're respecting, that are leading the way, go at each other, that shook me. That shook me firm as a teenager. Now, thankfully, I had people investing in me. That was not my only experience of church. Thankfully. And I remember in that meeting, my dad had just been appointed as one of the elders. And all this stuff had happened before he was appointed. And so he was put in the situation. And I remember as all these other guys were just going at it, seeing my dad just at the middle, just keeping the peace, saying to people, no, let's wait, let's pray, let's hear each other out. He was new in that zone, and I remember thinking, do you know what? I'm not getting a good grasp of Christ from others, but at least I'm seeing it in my Father. And at least I've got other people investing in me. And it just made me think, okay, what are we allowing others to see in us? What are we sharing a light of Christianity? Are people seeing grace and peace and forgiveness and compassion? Are people seeing others being humble enough to apologize, being humble enough to seek God, be humble enough to grow in their relationship with Jesus? We don't want to be the ones that cause others to stumble. The seed on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away, and as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word, then the seed that falls among the thorns represents others that hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of life, the allure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. This is the crowd. One minute they're excited about it. The idea of this Savior, that's exciting, that's attractive. But they didn't do anything with it. For many, they didn't do anything with it. And if we don't root ourselves, if we do not intentionally go, this is true, This isn't just for once a year or twice a year if you put Christmas with it. You know, this isn't just for those seasons. This is for life. And I want to bed myself into this. Then soon as persecution, soon as questions, soon as that hype leaves, you go to a conference, you go to a concert, and it's all hype, it's all exciting. But soon as the messiness of life comes in, if we are not rooted in God's word, if we're not founded in him as who he is in our lives, then we are easily going to be like these seeds, caught up with the thorns in life, the weeds that grapple us, the worry, the concerns, the pleasures. I don't know about you, but when I read this, I see it. And you start thinking of faces, and you just want to pray for them, because you're thinking, Lord, just help them root themselves. Ground ourselves in you. It's all well and good smiling and saying things are good on a Sunday, but what's it like on a Wednesday? When work is really rough. When your boss is talking to you like garbage. When things at home aren't going so well. When other people may be questioning your faith. This is why as a church we desire to root ourselves. This is why as a church we put things on like connect groups. It's so that we grow. It's so that we just root ourselves firmly in our Savior, that when people put challenges to us, we know his word. We know where we stand. And we're putting into our lives, people are seeing it. Danger is when we just kind of come for the kick of it. That's not rooted in. And then you got the fourth seed. And the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produced a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. When we root ourselves to God, when we say this is true, that he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, that he gave his Holy Spirit to give us strength and peace and guidance, that we have victory in his name, that we have life everlasting in him, it's witnessed. People see that fruit when you grab hold of that. When you say, that is true, and I'm pursuing that. We see those fruits. We see an individual growing in their faith. We see somebody grappling with Jesus' words and going, okay, he's teaching of being compassionate, and I'll be honest with myself, I'm not. So I just want to, Jesus, give me that compassion in my heart. And you see that growth. You see that Christ-likeness growing in them. They're getting it. It's not just about waving the palms. It's not just about physically putting cloaks down. It's laying the lives. It's giving God our heart's desires, our passions, our thoughts, our all. So who are we in the crowd? And what are we going to do this week? As we prepare ourselves. But not just that. How are we going to prepare ourselves each and every day? Because God is with us every day. How do we prepare ourselves to be with our King every day? To experience him through the Holy Spirit every day? Maybe it's when we wake up saying, Lord, help my mind be focused on you. Help my heart be on you. Lord, help me not be distracted by the things in this world, the desires that might come, the thoughts that might come. Father God, help me just be focused on you. Prepare our hearts. How are we going to prepare ourselves this week as we come on Friday and just come for this experience, come to reflect, and then go home. And then come back on Sunday all excited and celebrate, and then go home. Allow the seed to bear fruit. If this is truth, allow it to bed in. Allow it to be number one in our lives. We're going to have a time of prayer this morning before we kind of continue in worship. And the band can come up whenever they want. And as they maybe play softly in the background, like we did last week, let's have a time of response. as we prepare ourselves, maybe this is the day that we prepare ourselves, not just for this week of Holy Week, but the rest of our lives. And if you want to, the altars are open, come before God and kneel and respond physically in that way. Or just quietly where you're at, do so. You have that freedom. If you see a brother or sister next to you needing prayer, pray for them. You have that ability. But there's time. Let's just come in all simplicity. It's easy to get excited about thinking about Easter, about the victory and the hope that we have. But let it penetrate into more than just excitement, but it to be a life joy, a life giving, a life responding, of just laying down our fears, our pride, our hopes and dreams. Just give it all. Father God, we thank you, Jesus, that we have victory in your name, that we have life in your name, we have a hope because of you. Father, thank you, we can get excited and boldly say that we're excited, that we can live freely in you, but Jesus, allow this to run deep. For all to see that you are God, that you are good. Help us to move from those who maybe it's just belly into the soil and too easily get strangled up. Those who maybe face difficulty at school or at work, have difficult conversations with people who maybe just don't get it. Help us, Lord, Father God, run deep into you. Spend time alone with you. Ask for prayer for my brothers and sisters. Seek into your word and know that it's true, that you have so much for us, so much love, so much wisdom for us just to grasp. Sorry, Lord, when we just don't, when we just take things on ourselves. Help us to just be humble and seek you, Jesus. This week, Father God, help us prepare ourselves. Help us respond, not just in thought, but in the way we live, as of Christ. Help us be a church, Father God, that is just full of people growing in your name, that is just a light sharing to other people, so that others can see, wow, that's what a Christian is, someone who's just giving themselves, someone who just gets it, Father God. Help us be people who just so absorbed by you. Father God, we pray you just work in a mighty way. Yeah, Jesus. In your name. Amen.